Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on January 18th, 2021, from my home studio here in Columbia. Happy Dr. Martin Luther King Day, folks! Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a continued preview of the legislative session. We hear from speakers at the virtual King Day at the Dome event. We take a look at some economic data and what may be in store for Boeing's fourth quarter call next week. And we get the latest on the vaccine rollout in the state. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from you all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and just what's happening in your world at 803-563-7169. And mark your calendars, folks. That's right, the Lead is hosting a virtual happy hour on February 4th at 6:30 p.m. You can find it on Eventbrite. Just search South Carolina Lead Happy Hour. And also, shoot us an email, shoot us a DM, shoot us a text, whatever. Let us know what you want to talk about during our little happy hour. It's going to be pretty loose, so we'd love to know what you guys are thinking about so we can kind of steer the conversation that way. We're going to have several friends of the pod on, so you'll see some familiar faces when we gather on February 4th at 6:30 p.m. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 5,662 confirmed deaths, and currently there are 354,895 confirmed cases being reported in all 46 counties as of January 18th at 4 p.m. Currently, there are 2,342 South Carolinians hospitalized with COVID-19. 478 patients are in intensive care, and 317 are on ventilators. And I know we throw this data at you all the time, but in just the first 2 weeks of the year, we've seen more than 50,000 new cases. So that's just really shocking to see there as we keep talking about how things are getting worse almost before they get better, even though the vaccine's rolling out. And we know DHEC has finally fixed a database issue with one of its vendors, and it updated its previous numbers. We were talking about that past couple episodes about how some of the data we were reporting wasn't entirely complete, including January 8th, when we saw 6,824 new cases in one day. That's a new state daily case record. Disturbing record right there. We continue our look at the new legislative session by catching up with two guests of the pod. Wait, guests? No, these are friends of the pod. This is family of the pod. This is like when you're here, you're family. You're a Fast and Furious family. And of course, the family to me, friends to you, family to all. Let's eat. Then I'm talking about Jeffrey Collins of the Associated Press and Mayon Schechter of the state newspaper. Now, they were on my segment for This Week in South Carolina, and I started off by asking Jeffrey about the governor's State of the State address and how many of his priorities might actually get passed into law this year.
Henry McMaster, when he does the State of the State, usually mentions the things that he mentioned the week before in his budget request. That's kind of been his thing. The thing that stuck out to me yesterday as I was listening is that almost everything he mentions has a pretty good chance of passing, which is pretty unusual in the past 30 years with the governor-legislature relationship. I mean, he's got the rainy day fund that's $500 million he wants to save that money. He's got step increases for teachers he wants to put in. He's got helping out colleges and, armory buildings. He's got some law enforcement help money. But it's all stuff that, you know, if I was putting money on, it's got a pretty good chance of passing.
Yeah, and Mayon, we've seen that over the past couple years with the governor, that he has that good relationship with lawmakers. Unlike his predecessors, he doesn't butt heads. He kind of goes along to get along. Probably doesn't get everything that he wants, but he does get some things, and that's a legislative victory in his book because, you know, that's how things work up there. You got to get along to go along. But tell me what you are hearing from lawmakers. We've seen about 1,000 bills already pre-filed. They're in the system now. They're going to be working through the system. Obviously, we only see about 100 of them actually make it into law. What are the top priorities right now we're seeing emerge? Obviously, it's only been the first week, but maybe what you're hearing and what we're seeing right now for priorities.
Well, tagging off of what Jeffrey said, I definitely think the budget is obviously a huge priority of the legislatures this year. They didn't get to pass a new one due to COVID last year. So I would imagine there's going to be a lot of work being done to do something this year. I know that there's an emphasis, obviously, always every single year on education. I don't think we're going to see a large 84-page omnibus education bill. Representative Rita Allison told me a couple of weeks ago, of course, she chairs a House Education Committee, that we'll see probably individual pieces, things that have a better chance of passage, that could include, you know, testing, for example. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that is going to be solved through the budget, of course. Mm-hmm. We know that there's going to be an emphasis on abortion this year. There is an about in 30 minutes or so from while we're speaking, there's going to be a Senate Medical Affairs Committee holding the first hearing on the fetal heartbeat bill, which we heard the governor obviously mention in his State of the State address, that if you slide it over to his desk, he will sign it. So we know that is going to be a priority. That's something that Republican leaders have stressed in the off season. We know Santee Cooper may come up. There's some hope from some lawmakers that medical marijuana has a chance. But what has kind of been more interesting to see the greater sort of emphasis on, especially in the House, is this kind of equitable law enforcement, criminal justice reform package of bills that the Speaker has been pushing, that leaders in the House have been pushing, that seem to have a really great chance at passage, mm-hmm. at least if not this year, next year before the session ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll
and redistricting. I don't want to forget mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah, and we can jump into all those in a moment too. Jeffrey, I want to talk about the budget. We heard the governor talk about it last night, obviously, and again, that's the top priority, like Maya was saying, of these lawmakers up there. That's the number one issue. That's what they're charged with actually doing by law. But it sounds like we're in a pretty good position compared to other states, especially after COVID just, you know, wreaked havoc on state revenues last year. Give us an overview of how things are shaking out and where we stand as a state right now.
Well, taking you back a year ago before COVID made its appearance, you know, we had almost $2 billion worth of extra money to spend. So that provided a cushion that allowed South Carolina to not have to cut its budget. Now, you know, they're expecting a little additional revenue that allows for a few of those things that the governor wants to do. So that will probably happen. But in the end, it's going to be kind of a status quo kind of budget year. I mean, you're not going to get your extra cars if you're an agency or your extra stuff that you want. But the good news is you're not going to have to cut employees or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds like you know, we're not looking for those big pay raises because, again, like you're saying, the recurring money is not really there. But there is an excess of one-time money, this surplus money, almost $1 billion extra that they can use to plug these gaps like we're talking about here and there in these state agencies.
Right. And there'll be some fight over that. I think, you know, the governor's $500 million rainy day fund is what he wants to do with most of that money. That may be the place where everybody clashes a little bit. I mean, there's going to be some COVID relief things that are done and some things like that. So if there is a too big fight over the budget, it'll be over that particular bit of money, that one-time bit of money that doesn't come up every year.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they always talk about pay raises, and it looks like the only pay raises right now that the governor's proposing that could be mirrored in, you know, the budget in the State House going forward is looking just for step increases for teachers and maybe law enforcement. Is that where the likelihood it will be at this point?
Yes, the House Budget Committee is going to take up later on today, we're talking on Thursday, a bill that would reinstate the step increases, which are just annual increases teachers get based on their years of experience. That got postponed because of the uncertainty of the budget mm-hmm. when the pandemic started. So the Senate already approved it. So that would seem like it's going to happen probably fairly quickly, like by February.
We also discussed several top bills and where they might go in this episode as well. And you can find that entire interview on youtube.com/South Carolina ETV. You can always catch new episodes every Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. Sticking with the State House, the King Day at the Dome rally at the South Carolina Capitol has been held annually on Dr. Martin Luther King Day ever since 2000, when activists called for the removal of the Confederate battle flag from State House grounds. You may even remember last year when it drew the entire field of Democratic presidential candidates for a march and speeches in downtown Columbia. Well, in 2021, like so many things, it looked a little bit different. It was virtual. Guests and leaders continue their call for racial equality and equity on several fronts. Congressman Jim Clyburn was among the guests who spoke and offered this question to viewers.
Are you doing everything you possibly can on this day of service to give service to your fellow man? Ask these questions and then decide, depending upon the answer, whether or not you need to redouble your efforts and do better going forward. King wrote in his very last book, which is entitled, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community? He talked about why we can't wait in another of his books. His first book was called Stride Toward Freedom. All of these writings were about what you and I need to do working together to get things done for those who are destined to come after us. I would hope that as you celebrate this day, you will rededicate yourselves to what King stood for, and that was a life of service and commitment to and on behalf of others.
The event differed not only in format, but it also addressed the deadly COVID-19 pandemic. State epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell gave remarks centered around the pandemic and how it has disproportionately affected the African-American community over the past year.
But African-Americans are being hit so hard because they're disproportionately affected by existing medical conditions that increase their risk of having complications for COVID-19 should they become infected. But they're also potentially at higher risk of becoming infected by being exposed because of circumstances that create a higher index of social vulnerability because of where we work, where we live, the conditions in certain work settings, how much we earn, impacting our access to transportation, access to healthcare, among other contributors that are all the underpinnings of good health overall. One of the things that COVID has brought to light is the vast health disparities that exist in our state and in our nation. And Dr. King often talked about the community of man and how interrelated we are. He said that all men are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects us all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. So going forward, once we overcome COVID-19, and together we eventually will, it's important for us to confront those disparities that make some of us more vulnerable than others. We must do this first because it's the right thing to do. And second, because if our brothers and sisters are not healthy and whole, then we collectively are not healthy and whole.
Dr. Bell acknowledged how there may be some distrust about the vaccine among the African American community due to the disturbing past of how some medical studies were conducted. Most notably, the Tuskegee syphilis study, which started in the 1930s and was conducted on hundreds of black sharecroppers in Alabama who had syphilis. Participants were offered free medical care in exchange for participating, but they were never informed that they were test subjects. The study went on for 40 years, and though a treatment for syphilis was available during this time, none of the participants were ever actually treated for their disease. Here's Dr. Bell talking about the current COVID-19 vaccine.
Some people like African Americans and many others of color are skeptical of the vaccines as a tool to help us out of this. And I understand that there's good reason for that, given some of the reprehensible medical research that was practiced on communities of color in our history. But it is because of those reprehensible events that protections have been adopted to prevent those horrible acts from ever happening again. And in fact, a black woman scientist is the NIH's leading scientist for coronavirus vaccine research. An African-American woman, Dr. Kismekia Corbett, is among the NIH scientists who worked directly to develop and produce the Moderna vaccine. She has been praised by Dr. Fauci for her role in the vaccine's development. So I am confident that the process that led to the development of the COVID-19 vaccine met scientific and ethical standards before they were approved as safe and effective. I received my first dose of the vaccine last week, and I look forward to getting my second dose. I was glad to get it because of the key role I know that the vaccine will play in ending this pandemic.
Again, while there was no King Day at the Dome rally, there was a heavy law enforcement presence still outside the statehouse this weekend, and it continues, though there has been little activity involving protesters or violence of any kind. The heightened security presence will continue through this week, and the statehouse remains closed through Inauguration Day. Speaking of Wednesday, 650 South Carolina National Guard troops are part of some 25,000 National Guard troops that have been dispatched to Washington to assist with security for the event. Americans spent less on retail goods and food services for the third straight month, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Advance estimates for December 2020 were down 0.7% from the previous month. However, on a positive note, spending was 2.9% above December 2019 levels. Remember, folks, we gotta spend. That's our economy. Consume. Nom. We have some more economic data. The Federal Reserve reported that industrial production advanced 1.6% in December, with solid gains in manufacturing, mining, and utilities. Some good news for a lot of businesses in South Carolina right there. Now, that 6.2% increase for utilities resulted from a rebound in demand for heating after unseasonably warm weather in November. I know my thermostat's up. I'm wearing a jacket right now as I'm doing this. AT's in a tank top. And next Wednesday, January 27th, Boeing executives hold their fourth quarter earnings call. Now, news for the 787 Dreamliner isn't expected to be great because the company didn't have the fourth quarter they were expecting for the wide-body aircraft. Instead, the company delivered just four 787s from October through December due to the increased inspections of the completed aircraft to address a variety of quality problems. Bloomberg reports that the 787 problems will sap $7.5 billion from Boeing's free cash flow. The Dreamliners are built in Washington and North Charleston, though the entire line will soon shift to the North Charleston plant, which will produce six aircraft a month. Washington, however, is where the planes will be repaired and evaluated for structural issues. So, not really great news right there talking about Boeing. Of course, the slowdown was also prompted by the pandemic. The company delivered only 114 wide-body aircraft in 2020. That's far below the upwards of 250 they typically deliver in a year. Now, we'll have more details on Boeing next week. We have a vaccine update for you. Governor Henry McMaster toured vaccine operations at Spartanburg Medical Center and Lexington Medical Center on Monday. He gave remarks after touring Spartanburg Medical. Here's what he had to say.
It's when they get their allocations for the first dose and then for the second doses following at the right period after that, they have to clear those shelves and get all of that vaccine that comes in every week into the arms of a South Carolinian. Every week. And we are finding ways, intensifying communications to be sure that there are no obstacles to doing that. But sometime in March, we're assured that there are other manufacturers whose vaccines will be available. And that's Janssen and Johnson & Johnson and others. I may be leaving some out. We don't know exactly when that'll be, but we know Pfizer and Moderna, which are the two that are providing vaccines right now. We know they are ramping up their production, and in just a few weeks, hope to be able to produce twice as many doses as they are producing today.
Yes, the CEO of Pfizer said recently that the company plans to produce 2 billion doses of the vaccine this year, up from its original target of 1.3 billion. As of January 15th, 12.3 million Americans have received their first shot, including 130,000 South Carolinians. But the rollout still isn't going as fast as the governor and others would like.
It's not going as fast as we would like, but it has taken adjustment to get all the lines straight. The federal online registration system known as VAMS, which is critical, We have to know how many doses we've gotten, where they've gone, and have to keep a record of this. That has slowed us down because it is a complicated process to go through. That's why here in Spartanburg, they've made a way to get around that by providing that kind of assistance right here on site.
The governor also asked hospitals to cut back on elective surgeries and transition staff to help the state's vaccination efforts. Not a good sign there when we're cutting back on those elective surgeries. Demand for the vaccine is, of course, higher than supply right now. As more South Carolinians become eligible to be vaccinated, the state continues to receive the same amount of the Pfizer vaccine, some 31,500 doses a week, even as providers receive only about 20 to 25% of the doses they've requested. DHEC said in a statement that the state can't fulfill the provider's request for increased vaccine allotments because there's not enough vaccine available from the federal government. The agency is not anticipating any increase in the state's allocation of COVID-19 vaccine from the federal government for the foreseeable future. Now, the state is currently receiving 28 doses per 1,000 people, according to the CDC, and this is below the country average of 46 doses per 1,000 people. Welcome to our wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. Tell us how you're handling things, if you've been vaccinated, how often you're getting tested, what your experience has been with COVID-19. We want to know. 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's happening in your world. AT, what's happening in the world of our voicemail? How's it?
I think everyone in the new year is doing so well that they have nothing to tell to us, or they're just not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, barren wasteland as far as voicemails go. Mm. Barren.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're going to keep the lines open, fully staffed, of course, 24/7.
We'll always be there for you. You're just embarrassing us daily by not calling, guys.
I'm going to persevere because I know you're listening.
Yet he persisted. Yeah, very good.
Well, Gavin. Okay, well, then we can talk. You had some adult good news the other day with your cookbook.
Yes, my adult good news was it was new cookbook night.
Yeah.
Well, my real adult good news was that I rotated the mattress.
Well, the mattress.
It's still paying dividends. The ROI on the rotation is off the charts.
Folks, listen up. Rotate your mattress. Change the batteries in your smoke alarms.
This one easy trick, fellas.
Doctors hate this guy. More like chiropractors. Chiropractors hate A.T. Shire.
Yeah, let's be sure. But my other adult good news was that it was new cookbook night.
Yes.
And I use every grain of rice, authentic Chinese food, not the Americanized version of these that we're all used to, right? And I told Gavin that I was using some fermented vegetables, and the bag said, if expanding, do not use. And we joked that I would die from eating expanded vegetables and stuff, but didn't happen. I'm here. But let me tell you, eating these vegetables was not a treat. It didn't work. It really dour new cookbook night.
Fermented vegetables weren't a hot seller.
We opened it up, and Caitlin and I were both like, I don't know about that. That's pretty stinky. It was like somewhere in between, like vegetables you don't like plus olives plus pickles. I don't know. It was strange. It was definitely an acquired taste, and we were supposed to put like 5 tablespoons of it in each serving. Oof. And it looked like a lot. It was a lot. And Caitlin was trying to be a good sport about it, and she's like, I'll eat it if you'll eat it. And I was like, maybe take some out.
Well, I'll tell you what doesn't have fermented vegetables, and that's soybean pasta.
Stop it. It does. I mean, it's got soybean. I mean, soybeans are to be fermented. That's the best use of them. Then you're talking soy sauce, baby.
Yes, but not in this pasta dish.
This pasta dish, a nice puttanesca.
Chicken piccata.
Chicken piccata. Anyway.
Yes.
Gavin, you had quite a weekend, a couch potato weekend, and you experienced some real culture, right?
Culture. On the television.
Let's talk about
it. I was cultured from the couch, culture.
Like you learned so much,
like a little sediment being turned into a pearl. You know,
you fermented on a couch.
Yes, I was fermenting.
Okay, what did you watch, bud?
I consumed hours of content. I was at a friend's house. We had a good friend, Maya, visiting from town. So it was just like three of us. We all tested negative, so we're okay. We were distant too, but we were just sitting, consuming. Just
consuming.
Content.
You gotta be good. Watch, you gotta like, be consuming.
You know, like me, like I've been trying to read more, so I really haven't been watching Netflix. But we watched
brag.
What did we start off watching? We watched a Very Promising Young Woman, which is just like, whoa, get ready for some shock and awe, folks.
Schlock and awe.
And then Saturday started off with The Sound of Music. Unexpected pull from my friend Anton. Incredible
fabulous
pull.
Fabulous Sound of Music.
Great way to start off the day.
To contrast The Sound of Music.
Well, we need to get uplifted loved. Because we were so shook from A Promising Young Woman.
Yes.
I watched Hamilton. I watched.
You're really sliding that one in there, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was
no one can just offhandedly say they've watched Hamilton.
Well,
so
I was
Gavin's
really debating just
here.
Tweeting like, oh, just watched Hamilton. Nice. Yeah. Like I didn't have this awakening. I'm sorry, folks. If you're looking for some shock and awe from me here, there was no unboxing video of Gavin just being enlightened from it. I thought it was great. I think it was very interesting, very novel approach to storytelling, and especially about history that no one cares about for the most part. You know, like we're all like, oh, wow. Like, we never read about this stuff in history books, but like it's super interesting when you see the tensions, you see the politics, and then they like, you know, dance, sing it out because they're singing the whole time.
I feel like this is it's like the idea of a bad after school special to try and get you to like history in like 1992.
Yes. And it worked a little bit because you're like, oh
now
man,
it works. Now it's a novel idea. Hey, rap it to the kids. They all love that.
Yeah. I will say Thomas Jefferson was my favorite. He just like just didn't give.
Real flippant.
But yeah, watch that. Then we watched on Sunday, we watched that show Big Mouth on Netflix,
which is
so raunchy.
Show.
Like viewer discretion advice there, folks.
Oh, absolutely. Hellaciously inappropriate.
Yeah.
And but it's like the most inappropriate after school special again.
But like such an all-star cast of comedians, very funny.
Yes.
If you
who's who?
If you weren't allowed to watch Married with Children like I was as a child, then this show will be it's in that same category.
That speaks to you the same way Married with Children
yeah.
does.
We were never allowed to watch Married with Children, but we could always sneak The Simpsons in and Roseanne.
Roseanne.
And then, of course, I'm forgetting some other shows. We watched Bling Empire, which is about actual crazy rich Asians in L.A. They market it like that, so I'm not like, you know, saying something offhand here. But it's so interesting. I don't watch reality TV. I can't really stand it. But it, just to see this like disgusting amount of wealth and just how they spend it is just you get a little numb to it. So you're just like, OK, I'm going to watch this disgusting display of how money is spent that I don't have on shoes and all this other crap. But very interesting dynamics.
I mean, the last time you saw reality TV, you were obsessed with For One Day, Below Deck.
Yes. Yeah. Now I'm just
so
like,
anything that portrays an opulent lifestyle, you're addicted to opulence is what I'm saying.
Luxury.
Luxury.
Opulence. Decadence. No, sure not. No, I mean, because it's just such a like different world, right? Like it's just, ugh.
They're out of touch.
Oh, yeah. But then they have this one guy who's in the group who moved from Philadelphia.
Go Birds.
And he is like part of their group. It's only been a year and he's made his way up in like this, you know, this little social strata of theirs. And he's like, oh my God, he almost overdoes it too much where it's tacky. Like if I'm flying on a private jet, like I'm gonna be like, oh my God, I'm on a private jet. Or like these shoes cost $1,000 and you're giving them to me. You got to play it cool. Like act like you've been there before.
Brag it. You want to backhand brag.
And then he thought Hermes was spelt with an E, and I was just like, oh my God. Like, even the housekeeper laughed at him, and you're just like, oh my God. Like,
who is this man?
Oh, gee whiz. But, you
Hermes.
Know, when you're good looking, you can get away with things like that, and that's what he is going from. That's why he's part of the group. Anyway, I don't want to ruin too much for you, but if you need
no
a binge.
Spoilers.
And then to top off the whole content binge, we watched The Craft, the OG, the 1996.
Yeah. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a
board. Coming of age, you know, video, movie. And then the sequel, which, hey.
Spooky Mulder.
You've been warned. There's a lot of holes in the plot, folks. But
not like the first one. Airtight first one.
Yeah.
The second one,
God,
though.
Yeah. I mean,
question.
Fairuza Balk, like, oh, man. Nancy, we bind you. But yeah, I just, and then like the whole weekend, like I was off the Gavin feed. Like it's been 2 weeks, 3 weeks since Christmas. So
you
it was like
normal human food.
Yeah, like pizza and my favorite little pizza bites and bread and donuts. And I made a frittata, which did have spinach in it. So I was very excited about that.
48 pounds of spinach turns into one light leaf after you start heating it.
Yeah. It is super concentrated. You have to like take small bites because it can really do a number on you.
You can only take a little bite. You're just describing terrible food. If you eat too much of it, it destroys you.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not eating fermented vegetables to be cool.
Well, you should, okay?
But yeah, it was a weekend. It was nice. It was good. Chill. Very, like, totally checked out. You know, I was obviously kind of keeping an eye on things at the State House via Twitter, but nothing going on. Nothing major, thank God. So
really, really, I really do enjoy that your going off the grid is tuning in to television that normal everyone else is watching. So like you're going I'm off just the trying, grid I'm just, is you know, more it's like when on.
It's like when I go grocery shopping and I look at what's in other people's carts so I can know what's normal to buy.
You just copy. Yeah. You just copy. Yeah.
Was that okay? So I need that one. Okay. Yes. That's why it was such a shock when I saw the soybean, the black soybean pasta. I was like, I don't know what to do. Am I allowed to get this? I didn't see any shopping carts around me. So
every time you just walk into a grocery store, you black out. And when you walk out, you've just mimicked everyone else's carts and you just have basically an unboxing every day.
My pantry is full of food I've never touched.
It's 1,000 K cups and
I don't even have a
48 boxes of Honey Bunches of Oats.
I have all this cereal and I don't buy milk. Like it's
and
it's
you're
disturbing.
Allergic to honey. Take it out. These people have heard enough.
All right, folks.
They don't want to call.
Tell us
they
about
like
your shopping
it.
Experiences. What do you purchase? We want to know. This is for a consumer study that we're getting kickbacks from. I'm just kidding. But tell us. 803-563-7169. Tell us about some shows you're watching and, you know, some feedback about, you know, what you thought about some of the shows I mentioned. Or leave us an iTunes review. We always appreciate those on iTunes. And you can stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org as well. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I don't even wash my clothes because there's enzymes sewn into it. It cleans itself.
Enzymes and shea butter.
I don't even shower. I'm disgusted.
I don't shower.